to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture, and we have a great guest for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
Hey, this is Daniel Burns, and I'm coming out of the DMV, the Baltimore, D.C. metropolitan area.
Nothing but good people out there, in my opinion, you know.
I'll take that.
Everybody I've met has been great. Like, I really, now maybe I got to go out there. I've heard some things, right? I've heard some things from these great people, but everybody I meet, they give me whatever the shirt off their back if I needed it, I feel like.
Yeah, man, it's such good people. In fact, we've been, as you know, we've been in LA for the past 4.5 years, and so to be back on our home turf, man, it's so wonderful. It's a loving place. It's one of those things like Baltimore gets a bad rap, starting from and it's earned it. You know what I mean? The Wire was accurate. If you've ever watched The Wire, it was an accurate depiction of what went on and what goes on. But McCain and I were talking, my daughter McCain and I were talking yesterday morning, and saying that Baltimore has only been loving towards us. It's always just embraced us. DC has a more transient population. You have a lot of government workers and then politicians and lobbyists and a bunch of other people coming in. But Baltimore just has that hometown feel where everybody speaks. Everybody asks the way we speak and say, "How you doing?" Instead of like, "Hi," it's just, "How you doing?" And it comes from a real loving place. And so, old school, a lot of people came up from the Carolinas. And settled here, and so Baltimore has just got a unique kind of love, and so we're happy to be here. We're just outside of the city, and so it's just nice to be right here where it's a loving environment. So yeah, we're glad to be here, glad to be home.
It's kind of cool because I think one of the first things I want to ask you about is just you guys, obviously, you know, that 4.5 years in LA will you'll learn some things, you'll pick some stuff up, right? It'll be kind of a new perspective on things, right? And I want to hear a little bit about your perspective on kind of that mission that you guys went out there to do. You know, how was that stint?
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm gonna speak from this perspective. I fell in love. Like, Cali got me, but what I fell in love with was is the nature, the ability to connect to the nature, to stand and look at the Pacific Ocean, is a beautiful thing. Now, it's there's the other side. Like, it's also they get put out warnings that do not go in the water, so you can't go in the water, and the sand is filthy, so you scrub your feet when you get home. But that doesn't stop the fact that you're standing and looking at the largest body of water as a part of planet Earth, and that you will see dolphins jump in and out of the water, and so and to see pelicans in formation swooping down, and so it just so beautiful. And then we spend a lot of time hiking because we exercise daily. And so, man, just to be able to dive off up into those mountains, and we would drive along PCH, leave our community. We were in South Central in the Crenshaw community, and drive up out 90 to PCH and head up towards Malibu. And as you past Pepperdine and start to come down that hill, and it opens up and it's just incredibly beautiful. So we fell in love and found a spot up in Solstice Canyon where we would go hiking on a regular basis. And we even spent the night up there a couple of times. What a beautiful, beautiful experience. And you learn to respect the critters, because we did come across a lot of rattlesnakes. You make friends with the coyotes where you say, "You feel my energy, I'm good peoples," and so keep it moving. And even going through, we watched, I've never seen it before, a swarm of bees that came from the bottom of the mountain up to the top of the mountain. And then they live in the ground and we walked through them and none of them stung us. And so, man, what a beautiful experience. We dove into the nature in Cali and what it has to offer. An incredible experience. And then let me switch to the other side of it too, like the people, the community that we live in. I claim it as my community, the Crenshaw community that we were in Leimert Park. I feel like that's home for me as well. And very similar to Baltimore in the sense that there's a family kind of connection that we felt. If I snap my fingers and I'm walking down Crenshaw and Stricker right now, Stocker right now, Stricker is Baltimore, Stocker is Crenshaw. There's so many people that have just become community. The corner store, the dude on the corner that holds it down, and just the full community, man. It was nothing but love, and so I have a lot of love for the Crenshaw district, and look forward to going back to visit, as you and I talked about the other day. And so it is a beautiful place, and it does have there's that dichotomy. There's some other things at play, like
I
gas
think that's
being four times the amount.
that stuff is up there for sure, for sure. You know, the something that jumped out at me as you were mentioning that is this idea where if you leave where you're from, let's say, quote unquote, it's almost like you're losing value. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know how to put words to it, but I just thought about it to where for so long I was in LA, right? And I thought like, geez, I can't ever leave because this and that, right? Or as if I couldn't come back. That's the weird part, as if there was some sort of like a border or a citizenship that like wasn't gonna allow me the opportunity to come back. I'm going back like next weekend, but it's funny because it's almost like a sometimes a prison in your own mind, right? Or a barrier in your own mind that I'm sure, you know, places with deep historic situations like Baltimore, like LA, right? Like certain parts of Texas, you name them, they're everywhere, right? The idea to almost, it's like you're jumping ship. And I wonder where that came from, or is that something of like your generation? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because now I feel like I'm trying to maybe push a narrative of like explore more places, you know, get out there, right? Spend some extended periods of time. It'll get your perspective, it'll shift certain things. And I only think it's gonna get you better. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't really see any scenario where it's like, you maybe get a little homesick, that's about it. But like, you know what I mean?
It's interesting. You reminded me of a book that I read years ago, maybe 30 years ago, of Water in the Spirit, Maladome Patrice Somme, out of I think he's from Burkina Faso. And he was talking about leaving
Where's
home
that?
in West Africa.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so he talked about leaving home and the importance of leaving home, and that everybody in his village like was supporting him and celebrating him leaving. And then he came back home to visit, and he wasn't really welcome back. And so I think that my generation, when we left home to come back, even when I went off to college and I came back, there was a difference between me and my homies that stayed home. And so I think that that did exist. But right before we left LA, I was talking to somebody who I've become really close to in the community. He was like, "Oh, I've left and come back so many times. You always welcome back. Go ahead, do what you got to do, and then come on back when you're ready to come back." And so, what I kind of my generation kind of grew up with was the idea of if you leave, you kind of can't come back. If you do, you're not really welcome. But where I've evolved to now, just in my 2026 existence, being 52 years old, man, I look forward to going everywhere. And it's kind of like the earth is my turf is kind of the feeling that I have, where I'm so glad to be back home, but I also miss where I just was, and I can't wait to go where I'm going next. And so I feel like to kind of take those shackles off of you can't really go anywhere, stick to where you are, that there are some borders. I believe in thinking beyond borders, is really where I've evolved to. And so I look forward to getting up to Montana.
We'll get in that here in a second too, because we've been really we dove dive. Man, we had like a 2.5 hour meeting or something like that,
We
right? A
did. It
couple of days
lasted for a
ago,
little
and
while.
I think the lady in the coffee shop I was in was kind of like, "Hey, you're gonna have to take that somewhere else, all right?" Like I'm a, you know how they start mopping by you, start moving chairs
It's
all
time to
loud and
go.
stuff. So yeah, it was one of those things. But yeah, that's honestly pivoting into that before we start getting into Montana. Leaving and then coming back. I want to know when you were growing up, right? And I think I've seen it on different aspects where it's like if you come back, you've almost failed. Just it depending on where you're from, I think it's the community that you came from, right? If it's adjunct poverty or if it's, whatever it is, maybe actual, danger, things like that. If you come back, it's like, oh, now you're back to being one of us. You almost took a step down because maybe the community at large isn't looking at themselves. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're not shit. So what if you're here, this place ain't shit. Like, you ain't shit. You know what I mean?
I
And
can believe it.
here's the weirdest part where it's very unique in my culture and my community, Daniel, because they're actually encouraging young people to go out there and become doctors. And this has been 40, 50 years now, right? Go become attorneys, go become doctors. You got to learn and educate yourself on this, Western existence, let's say, right? Or whatever it is. And then here's the strange part is when they come back, and you can see it in my mom becoming a doctor. You can see it in me within my, financial path. There's no, what's the word? There's no lane for you in this land, right, that you left, because you have to create it, right? That was the point. The point was literally, hey, go become a doctor, come back here and fix our bodies, right? And then you come back as a doctor and they go, ah, well, we don't do that here. And they go, well, you hold on, no, you just said that this is so, what are we doing here, right? And then, okay, so this is how you build a medical practice or medical facility, right? And they go, ah, that's not done here. I don't think we want to do it that way, right? And then you go, I'm feeling uncomfortable. It's almost like a toxic relationship. You're just like, wait a minute. You said one thing, you're doing another thing, and you just I think I've been really working on patience with a lot of that stuff. But do you see what I'm saying there? Where it's a unique kind of sword that I'm starting to wield. Where I do have the support, do have the backing, and then now it's a sure you can do whatever you want, but open lane, you know what I mean? You really got to build it from, we're not talking just from the studs up. We're talking every, you got to go get the concrete, you got to go get the everything part and bring it here. And it's an interesting thing I've been on lately.
What I really think, just to just go, jump right into it, is that the two of us are a lot alike, and I think that I haven't met your mother yet, and I look forward to it, but I think that there's some commonalities. We're trailblazers. There is no lane that we didn't fit anyway, but a responsibility. So go out. One of my big brothers that. They pour concrete here back home, and I remember when he was so proud of me for going away to college because none of us went, and so I went to college, and when I got back, I started my construction company, and that's my concrete crew. And whenever we go do an estimate, he'd say, "Go, all right, go ahead and put some of that college on it. Like, get on your computer and put together the proposal that we need. That we didn't have anybody like that that could do that before. Now we have you to do it," and so. It was my responsibility to go get what I needed to get and come back and to benefit my community. With us going out to LA, we went there really to for Makena to sing. And so to go out there and to experience like ground zero for the entertainment industry and all that goes along with it, and then to then come back home. And she's been performing and been interviewed, and people been looking at like they if you she just had an interview she put out the other day, a podcast where the person who's interviewing her, we're on Greenmount on E over East is what we call it instead of East Side, over East in Baltimore on Greenmount Ave. And he was like, you're media trained. And so to leave and come back with something, with resources, knowledge, know-how. And to contribute that to your community is important. And it's not to stay. It's we're blazing trails. A post that she put out this morning, they were calling for the local radio station was calling for women in the industry to like they want to find one that's going to be the standout. And she proposed that it be a group of them that come together. And so it's just a different way of seeing things, going out and then coming back. And then the next conversation we had this morning was putting something together for Ecuador. So we're going to be going to Ecuador, where again, the earth is our turf, and we're going to new places because it's exciting and this world is a beautiful place to be. And but you go and you come back. And the presentation I sent you earlier, I know the listeners may not know what we're talking about, but the idea of travel. And these travel experiences where you take people from that haven't gone anywhere. I know people that have not ever that are from this area that have never been to New York City. And New York City is 3 hours away, but you've never been to New York and you're right in outside of Baltimore. I know somebody that's never been to Ocean City, which is 2.5 hours to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's still in the same state of Maryland, but they've never left. I also know people who are from Brooklyn that have never been to the Bronx. You can get on the train and ride, and you're in the one of the largest metropolitan cities in on the earth, but have never experienced that. And so, one of the things that I look forward to working with specifically with you is to bring people from my community to your community, and vice versa, to bring people from your community to mine. To be able to experience more of what the world has to offer and to bring that back home, to benefit the community. And so that's kind of the mission that I'm consistently on and constantly on and look forward to.
When did you say you got your start in that? How long has it been?
So I have 6 older sisters and 2 younger brothers, and there's just too many people in the house. Food would be a little bit tight, and so I would before the sun came up, I'd go outside and get on my bike and go, and so I always had the urge to just go, and experience what the world has to offer, and go as far as I possibly could. Some of my old heads, friends of mine that are 6, 8 years, 10 years older, they'd see me so far away from home that they would take my bike and put it in the trunk of their car and drive me back to my neighborhood. By the time I was 16, I would one of my older sisters, she was living in New York City. By the time I was 16, I was getting on anything smoking to get from this area up to New York. And she wouldn't meet me at Penn Station to show me how to get to. She'd just tell me take the 2 or the 3 from that station to this station. So I just started to learn, to explore on my own. And so I've always just been excited about what it is that the rest of the world has to offer, and never felt I felt unsafe staying in one place, like confined. And so I felt like I'm living more of my life by being free to move about the country or the globe. And so I'm always excited
No,
about going somewhere else.
I really like that too, and we'll jump into Montana here in a second, but before that, I don't know if you remember too much about the last episode that we did. It's probably been about 2 years though now since the
Don't
last
really
time we had
remember
you
too
on.
much of it.
I remember a lot of it. I remember the entire episode actually. And I don't remember a lot of episodes because I was at a very big transition or crossroad in my life, in my development as a young man. And I remember kind of coming to you and seeking counsel through that episode about just figuring out, I had to be softer. You know what I mean? I had to be a lot more gentler. I had to be a lot more, patient. I had all these sort of potentials of attributes that I was looking to develop. And at that point, I hadn't yet put those things into action. And it's kind of cool to think back because all those things that I was trying to learn maybe 2 years ago, they're all a habit now. Like they're
Wow.
almost second nature. I don't really remember being a different way. You know what I remember? You know what I
That's
mean? So
yeah.
just I don't even remember really what we were talking about specifically though, but it's just I remember just asking so many questions about, you know, being a father, right? And being a man and being a leader around the community.
I remember that.
And it's kind of funny because those questions I don't have them necessarily right now because they're just instincts, it seems like, right? You just do it, right? You're, hey, somebody's broken down. Hey, stop. You all right? What you got? What you need? You know, all right, you need some water. Here you go. You sure? All right. I'm gonna come back in a couple minutes now. If you ain't got it figured out, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? And just keep going. And yeah, I appreciate you from that. It's probably something you don't even remember. It was probably small to you, but it was really big to me, you know?
I actually do. I now you helped jog my memory, and so I do remember those that conversation. And what's cool is that so I'm an educator. That's my background. And so human growth and development is something that I had to study for, to get my degree. And so seeing you specifically at different stages in your life, because really we met about 4 or so years ago.
Yeah, in Long Beach, yep.
Yeah. And so the male brain doesn't fully form until 25. And so you're at 25 now. So to see just very respectfully, because you've always just been so dope and to me, very far ahead of your peer group. And pushing on where like what you can be doing. It's very rare. When we did have that conversation 2 years ago, nobody else your age was asking me at 23, what do I do? Like, how do I figure this thing out? That's not you're very rare in that sense. But it's really cool. It's an honor actually to be able to see you develop. And I mention this. I remember when I was 25 is when I was married. I got married early. I got married at 22, and had my son at 25, and was responsible for so much. I had bought my first house already, and I was teaching. It was my 3rd year teaching, and I was just thinking that I had it figured out. I knew so little about life, and people. Especially American culture, they don't like the idea of getting old. To get old is that's the goal. We know so little. There's another book. I'm a book reader. The Awakening of Intelligence is Jay Krishnamurti, and they have the Krishnamurti Center in Ojai, in California. And McKenna and I went to visit there. It's an incredible place. But the things that we think we know, we box ourselves in with that. We create our own prison thinking that we know something where you really don't know. And to awaken your intelligence is to first of all say, I don't know. And as soon as you don't know, then you can start to problem solve, which awakens your intelligence. And so somebody like you, who I've had to be this for my community, you're a trailblazer where you can show up, come back home from LA. And not really know, but you're gonna figure some shit out because of who you are. You keep pushing on that front where you're expanding the universe really in being who you are, but then being practical and putting things down that are gonna benefit anybody that's around you. And so it's really cool to be connected to you. And I wouldn't say that. I just had a different set of responsibilities when I was 25, but you have a solid footing here on this earth, and that whatever it is that you're gonna be doing is gonna benefit those that are close to you. And so it's fun to be connected to you. I'm enjoying the relationship thus far.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind words. I got something that has been heavy on my heart this morning. Well, it came to me last night, and this morning I sort of started to realize it was I've had the opportunity to be around some of the most talented, you know, men in the career path that I've chosen, right? Not just in the state, not just in the country, on the planet, right? And it's kind of funny because for the past couple of weeks, it's been fun. Just that, we kick it, yada, yada, yada. We're doing this. And then I started to realize I was like, oh, I should have some questions that I should be asking. You know what I mean? Like, dinner's cool. Yeah, the potatoes taste great. You know what I mean? This is good. But like, I got about 10 things that I'm struggling with right now. You know what I mean? That I would like to put on you, and you just tell me what they're feeling, right? And I have them written down right here. And this is somebody who, you can just say has more money than God, let's say, right? And I was asking, what's the next year look like for you? What's the next phase kind of look like as is it riding off into the sunset, or what is it? Just tell me, right? And I had to write it down as he was going. And he said, dirt roads, flip-flops and shorts, slower pace, be able to go, hey, I'm just gonna walk down here and I don't need to be rushing to the next thing. No constant moving, right? And then he continued on. Less risk, less exposure. Be freer. Be really able to check out, And that hit me like a ton of bricks, right, last night. And I've been doing really good in transitioning of not being so, go, 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 go all the time, right? That's what Montana did for me. And honestly, Montana saved my life. Going back home was the best decision I ever made about a year ago. And then here's the other part that I've been thinking about. It was I think it's the guy who like maybe used to run Disney or something like that. One of those crazy like billionaire, trillionaire types, right? He goes and he just bought, I don't know if you saw this, maybe a month or two ago, he bought the largest private ownership of land in American history at 2.9 million acres or something like that, right? Like just a massive plot of just private, this is what he wants to do with all his money that he's made, right? And I sat there when I saw that, and I was actually on the res at the time too, and I go, look at this. You make more money than God, and then you just try to do what we already have here. You see what I'm saying? So it was just one of those things where I didn't have the quite tools to do it. I was like, I haven't made millions of dollars yet or anything, but this thing that I'm feeling, it don't seem like that's the route that's calling me, right? And then I go, okay, well, if you do amass that amount of resources, what do you do with it? I think you reinvest it back into your community. And that is ultimately the highest purpose that I think I could follow at that moment. But those little things of him just saying, yeah, dirt roads, less exposure. I want it to be quiet. I don't want to do this. And I go, yeah, that seems to be the key, and that's what makes me happy. And I think I'm gonna just keep doing what makes me happy for as long as I can,
Yeah, that's the only thing to do. I don't engage in anything that's not going to make me happy. And dirt roads, quiet, less light so I could see more stars. Don't rush me. Let me take my time. The time that I have here, I don't want to have to, I'm not going to spend it in traffic. I'm not going based on anybody else's schedule. To schedule something that's makes my ass itch. Except if I get to sit down and talk to somebody that gets it and is worth time spending with them. But I that rat race corporate world idea, it's not attractive. To make any money, the only purpose for me to make any money is to get more free. To buy more land so that I can walk in any direction for there's something that you said the other day, to get on a horse and ride for a day or two and don't have to run into anybody, don't have to talk to anybody, and then know how to survive that time away from. I believe that that's where civilization really is. The other stuff is just chaotic and backwards. And so I'm with the words that you got from your old head. That's the life. That's life. That's life to live.
And something that I've been leaning into a lot more too is just like, I was a little angry maybe at the cities, right? And it's not even necessarily that that's what it's about. It's just there's little differences. And when you see those differences, I think you get it, where it's like being on time is a form of respect in the city, right? People show that they care about one another through, yep, the minute that that comes, that's when I show up, right? Or even earlier. And then I realized, oh yeah, but out in just the rural parts of the country, you don't have to be on time. You have to be available on the time, like any time. You know what I mean? And that's where those differences show you that, like, you love somebody, right? You need it. Oh, what do you need? Something's gonna break down. All right, we got it, right? Just like I was saying. So the fact that you are available, and that may mean leaving a certain appointment. Maybe leave your job. It's fine. Your job will be there. You know what I mean? Just get out, get in the truck, go fix it, and then come back. We're good, right? But it's just those little differences. If both people are trying to show love, it's just like, how is it perceived and how is it given the circumstances? And I think it's been a tough battle spending the past, year navigating that culturally, geographically, financially, however, you want to put it. But yeah, I'm curious to wonder what's on your mind as far as, like, it could be Montana specifically, or just talking about that idea of freedom. 'Cause, I think I've been fortunate enough to, I was just born into something where my culture's free. That's what we do, and there is no other way other than that kind of system. You know what I mean? So what's been on your mind lately?
Just to speak to one piece of it, being in an urban setting at this moment in time when we have like when we have McKenna has a performance or is going to be on a podcast, we leave a couple hours before we're supposed to be there. So that we don't have that sense of rushing to make something on time. We take our time and enjoy life to it's kind of sounds funny, but to capture freedom inside of the chaos and the hustle and bustle that we like to it's just our flow with that's my business partner and my best friend. We just take our time to get to where we gotta go. And when we left, it was a performance that she had last week. And so we left and we're 15 minutes down the road and she was like, I forgot my heels. So we had to turn around to go back to get her shoes from the house, but we weren't pressed for time because we were a couple hours early. And so to not feel that, not to release more cortisol into our system to still be peaceful and calm, more peace, more calm, where more happiness can exist, a nicer flow. That's instead of having to hurry and rush or be stressed. Nah, that's not the idea. The idea is to live as much of your life as possible in a peaceful state. And so, speaking of states, to get up to Montana, like 30 miles south of the Canadian border, is very appealing to me. I think that a lot of people would probably turn down an offer to come out to Montana if you're talking
Most
to them
do.
in LA saying, hey, come out to Montana. They'd be like, where? We'll ride horses in any direction for a day or two, and I don't think people are very, it's because the idea of freedom has been trained out of us. We've become so dependent where we have no idea how to forage or to hunt or to fish, and then what to do with the fish if you catch it. And so separated from the earth, from ourselves, and you could say from God,
From your creator, absolutely.
the people that are rushing to church on a Sunday, so disconnected, they're on concrete with rubber soles, and the idea of grounding, having the conversation with cl people close to me about taking your shoes and socks off and standing on the earth. People are saying, I asked, when's the last time that you walked in grass barefoot? And it's been decades for friends of mine.
Oh man.
And so people are just so disconnected and wonder why this all their relationships are so full of static. And their feet are so rough and ugly. They the idea of connecting with the earth is something that has been stolen from us. So
Yeah.
what calls to me daily is to be as close to nature as possible, to be as barefoot as regularly as possible, to dive even closer into where I have to develop the know-how to simply survive without being able to go to the grocery store. That's the path for me, and it's a very exciting idea. And so sign me up. I'm ready to get to Montana to experience those who are the closest to this continent, the indigenous population. I want to spend time in your community and to learn as much as I possibly can, because all that I'm going to do is share it with others that have been disconnected, where again I'm serving my community in a very meaningful way, where I'll go out and I'll get it, but what I'm going out to get isn't a liberal arts education. I want to go and know how to move so that bison don't want to come run at me in a negative way. You know what I mean? I want to move in a way that's very respectful of the earth and its inhabitants. And so, your community, being as close to the earth as any of us here on this continent, is where I would love to spend some time with y'all. And then to bring people from my community that's just been so disconnected from everything. I said the other day that you ask my friends again, the same ones that haven't walked barefoot on grass, if they've ever grown anything from a seed, and have never grown anything themselves before. And so, and I'm even some of my old heads that are in their 70s never have grown anything from a seed.
Yeah.
So, and won't take their shoes off.
Something that I always like to get in there is like the transition from seeing where your food comes from, just like you're talking about, right? So I don't know, let's say you take a deer or an elk or even a buffalo or something, right? And you throw it in there, you get it on a rack, raise it up, right? And everybody notices, like everyone's seen a picture of the slaughterhouse or like a butcher, right? Where it's all in the freezer and you see a whole, quarter of a cow, half cow, full, And it's funny though, the transition when it starts is we'll get that animal up there. We'll be like, all right, cool. You got it. Let's grab these knives. Let's start skinning it, right? Let's get this hide peeled off. Boom. They're like, that's disgusting. I don't want no part of that, right? And I go, all right, cool. Let's open it up right here. You start get that rib cage broken open and you go open it up. Still disgusting. I don't get it. Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Let's turn it around. Let's take this little piece out. What does this look like? Oh, that's from Albertsons. That's what I get over at Walmart. You know what I mean? You go, yeah, that's a steak.
Delicious.
Yeah. And you go, exactly, right? So, but there was just two or three steps that we had to go through to get there. And you notice that it's not in a plastic packaging, right? It's not into this. Yeah, well, this is how it's supposed to be. And kind of retraining your mind. And my favorite thing is I go through the hard things, like the hard traditions. Like tanning hides is fucking ridiculous. It is so hard to do, but that's why nobody wants to do it in my community, right? Is because it's a lot. It's labor intensive. You gotta know, you gotta have some finesse, but also be aggressive. And the biggest thing that I've realized in developing myself as an asset in my community is for some reason, you'll have these traditions, you'll have this ancient stuff that's been around forever, but why is it that when I'm doing it, I'll get four, five, six boys by me. You know what I mean? And they'll all be sitting down and they've grown up here their whole lives, right? They all got maybe dads or uncles or, depending on whatever their home situation is, right? But why is it that I have these kids locked in right now? And you'll see the little sweatshop that I call it where we'll throw three of them around and I go, all right, you're on this, you're on that, we're going, and now we're baking. Everybody's feeling it, right? No video games needed, no tablets, no nothing going on, right? We're having a good time, right? Hey, what's going on? Why are heard you were in trouble last week, man. What happened? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm not mad at you, but just maybe do it a little bit this way next time. You know what I mean? Hey, yo, what's going on over here, right? And you start to build that community within the traditions, right? Within the culture. And it's just something so funny to where, like, oh, I don't have my beadwork with me. It's out in the car, right? But I'll show you. Actually, I'm gonna make a video at some point today and then post it out and I'll send it to you. But like, I need to do a better job of documenting. And I think I do a good job for the most part, especially with the powwow stuff, things like that. But the little stuff of I'll be beading in like the airport or something like that. And that's traditionally like a grandma thing to do, right? Like that's you give those to the older ladies and they bang it out real fast. But the funny part is like personally, I got tired of asking some of my aunts and my, elders for some beadwork, and it takes 3 to 6 business years to get there, right? Same thing, right? You ask your auntie for something, yeah, I'll get around to it, and it just gets thrown way down the thing, and you're like, I hope I get, and then it becomes a Christmas and a birthday present, you know what I mean? Same thing, right? However, I remember I was sitting there one day, and there was a break in our tanning. We were waiting on a process, and I had an old dude over there, and I was just like, hey, show me a thing or two. And he's like, oh, I'm not an expert. I'm like, no, just show me what you know and let me see if I can pull from it, right? And he starts showing me just how to lazy stitch. There's dozens of styles on how to bead depending on what region you're from, who taught you this and that. But I like the lazy stitch. And I finally kind of started doing it. And I got Lily's leggings that we're working on for her regalia coming up this year. If not, at the end of the season, I'm hoping to get them finished by. And I've laid 4,200 beads because I counted last night. And I'm barely on the star of this whole project that we're doing, right? So I'm looking at it and I go, oh, geez, this project's going to take about 30,000 beads. And then I'm only halfway done. I'm going to have to go lay another 30,000 beads. And I'm laying them in six at a time, Daniel. You see what I'm saying? So but the thing is when you touch it and you feel it, you go, oh, this is quality. This is hand stitched right here. This is something that's like, and I got same thing. I got the boys around me. They're sitting there figuring out what's going on. They don't want to watch TV no more. They're helping me bead. They're doing this. And I try to explain to them, how long you think this is going to last? And, 10 years, 20 years. And I go, this right here will last 100 years. I can guarantee that. Like, and it should be 150. And I almost want to say 200 if you really baby it. Do you see what I'm saying? But for Lily to go out here and dance, her grandkids should be wearing these. So when I'm laying these beads down and I'm really explaining, and every bead has to go in a specific place, right? I'm not trying to make it perfect, but I'm trying to lay it down as perfectly as I can, right? Obviously, there's going to be, misstitching here, a little bit of that. That's art, right? But the point that I'm trying to make is even what I just said over the past 2 minutes, I might have to actually record, put that out there, and explain to people the level of quality and the level of detail that's going in to this art that I'm putting together, right? To these resources that I'm putting together. And it's almost the love that I'm putting into it. I hope that she's going to be able to feel that just like I feel it whenever I receive certain gifts of that magnitude, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. You reminded me of something that is a part of. So my family originally comes out of Louisiana, and so I don't know if you've ever heard of the Mardi Gras Indians before. So yeah, the there are people that these young men that take pride in doing their beading, their bead work, and taking their time every year to be able to come out for Mardi Gras parades. And so, actually, two of the people that I would like to bring with me to Montana, are my nephews out of Louisiana, and they participate. One of them in particular participates heavy in Mardi Gras, but doesn't have that next step that I like for him to be able to gain by knowing how to. Another thing, I have another little brother that's in Cleveland, Ohio. And he showed interest. I already talked to him about Montana, his ideas, and he wants to bring his wife and his two kids to come out. But he's already done this in the past, where he has purchased leather and then created handbags for family members. But to be able to go take it from the very beginning of the source of it, like to take to hunt and then to
to create the
tan,
leather.
and then create. Oh yeah, so that's something that we, I that that's what's exciting to me about the future in my own life, to be able to do things like that and to experience that with you in your community. And so very exciting to me.
And I think the biggest kind of value proposition to anybody, especially maybe somebody in more of an urban setting, is the sense of security that you get when you understand where it comes from. It's almost like construction, right? You don't care about something breaking down in your house if you got a construction background like you, because you're like, oh yeah, no, that's just, you know where the wood, you know, boom, boom, boom. This is just taking me about 2 hours to do, right? Versus having to baby everything, right? And you're like, uh-oh, don't put a hole in the wall, because we put a hole in it, that's, you know, we don't know how to fix it. And I think historically, from marginalized communities, due to the lack of resources, due to the, you know, the laws and the oppressive manner, that has been the norm that I've noticed from, it could be my parents, it could be my grandparents, of like, you gotta baby things, right? Especially in the city too. You get a new truck, you gotta put that, oh, put the plastic on the couches, right? Everybody knows somebody who had plastic on their couches, right? Because the couches are limited. It's a limited quantity. We wanna make it last as long as possible. That's not the mind. That mindset will not work in Montana one bit. You need to work it and beat it into the ground and just go, 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 and you'll fix it on the back end. You know what I mean? Obviously, don't be irresponsible, but dude, this is what this stuff's for. You got to use the tools as they're intended, because if you don't, you're messing up the balance of the entire cycle, right? So, it's funny. It's funny how certain, you know, there's a balance between being aggressive, right, and being gentle, and you got to know which parts of the animal, you know, if you're pulling a leg out, you're not going to be able to massage that thing. You got to really give it all you got and crack that thing out. But if there's certain things with the brain, right, there's certain, you know, you're working on tan in this area, right, you can't poke through it. You really got to be gentle and let it go. And yeah, man, that cyclical process that I'm talking about, like, man, my grandpa told me years ago, before I'd ever moved back, it's probably been about 7 years from now, and he was like, everything happens in balance, right? I had him on the show, my grandpa Larry, and everything happens in balance. And I was just like, everything? You know what I mean? But literally, everything that I'm
Everything.
finding so far happens in balance. And if something kind of goes wrong or it's feeling off, it might be because you're out of balance, right?
I have a question
Yeah.
for you. Being so at 25, you were in LA. Being in Montana, how is that socially for you? It's you don't have I'm imagining you don't have access to the nightclubs or the pizza spots and the all the things that you could have access to while being in Long Beach. What is it like for you socially in Montana as a
I'll speak,
25-year-old?
yeah, no, I'll speak freely. This is how it is. I didn't realize how lonely you could be in a population of millions of people. And when I dropped down to, you know, one of my hometowns where it's population 700, probably. You see what I'm saying? We have the big town on the res. Wolf Point is the big town because it has two stoplights. You see what I'm saying? So the idea of, you have everything you need in these small towns, but you only have one of them. So when that simplicity, you got pizza, you have one pizza spot. Choose wisely. You want to get a burger, you get one burger spot. You see what I'm saying? So when you come in there, there's not this massive, what's the word I'm thinking of? You know how you just get that decision fatigue? Think about it. You just go down your street and city, and you're just like, I can't even pick where to have coffee because there's 20 coffee shops. Do I go to Starbucks? Do I go to Dunkin'? Do I go to Dutch Bros? Do I do this? And you know what I mean? And then they all, the deals and the that. Your mind only has, I look at it like a muscle. I really do look at the brain as a muscle. You only have 100% recovery in it. Are you really going to use 10% choosing coffee right now? You know what I mean? Are you really going to focus in on, hey, are we doing Domino's or Pizza Hut or whatever's going on? And the answer is, while you're in a small town, And the game is not to compete with the cities. The game is not to, you're not going to have the highest quality this. It's not going to be the fanciest New York style, you know, whatever. But where your benefits and your strengths are is in the simplicity and the ability to cook a home cooked meal and actually share that, right? So guess what? We don't have 20 different pizza spots and 20 different restaurants that I could go to, but you know what I do have? 20 different uncles, 20 different aunties that I could walk into any one of their houses and see what they're cooking tonight. Oh, you guys having spaghetti tonight? Yeah, I'll stay. All right, I got you. Tomorrow, the next night. What are we doing? Stew? Okay. Next night, buffalo chili? Don't mind if I do, right? And then that barbecue going in. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's just like I talked about with the time in the beginning of like some people want you to be on time to show respect. I'm not somebody, just like you said, your ass itches. I'm in the same boat, right? But what I do ask is that you're available anytime if the necessary, and you are called to show up, you know. I hope that you'll rise to that occasion, you know what I mean? But that right there, as far as the restaurants go, as far as the resources go, the resources aren't commercialized, but they're all there. For example, if your car breaks down, you don't have an AutoZone. You don't have a, you know, a mechanic, right? You got one guy, and you better hope he's open and your car breaks down during business hours, because if it's not during business hours, shit out of luck, right? But what you do have is several junkyards, right? You got old man Johnson over here with, you know, oh, he's, what do you need? Spark plugs? You know, what do you need? This and that? All right, yeah, I got you, right? You'll go in there and you put it in. And although it doesn't cost any money, it's the effort side of it. You see what I'm saying? So in the city, yeah, you put effort into something, they give you these coins, you give the coins in exchange for something else. Out there in the country, it's love. It is effort, right? It's I've showed up, right? Just getting there is an event right there. It's 2 hours away, right? You go show up at somebody's house that's 2 hours away, you've shown that you're committed and you care enough to make it to this birthday party or whatever it is that you're doing, right?
That's a it's a, such a dope answer to my question, because socially you don't want 20 pizza spots, you want 20 aunties and uncles. And so it's a deeper and more meaningful human existence and experience. And so I think that it's something that definitely in this country we've gotten so far away from. Everybody believes that you're supposed to your kid turns 18, they're supposed to be out of the house, and then they go get their own electric bill and rent or mortgage and car note and all that, where we've been divided and conquered. And so
That's something. Let me touch on that for a second too, because I've been feeling real passionate about that. I've learned a lot from A, the tribe, my tribe, as well as the ranchers, right? If you really think about a ranch that's been around since, fuck, I don't know. Let's just throw 1890 out there, right? The idea that you understand, it's the idea of ownership too. My entire idea of ownership has changed, and I think that's why I'm seeing so much progress recently as I am. The American dream, and in America, they want you to do it like Shrek. It's my swamp, right? Stay out of my swamp, right? They want you to get the biggest house possible, put a pool in it so you never have to go to see anybody, put a tennis court on it, put a gym, basically build a small city inside of your thing, and you never bring anybody in, right? That's why you see all these old rich guys sitting around there in Hermosa Beach, right? And they're just on their lounger and they don't even have any grandkids around them, right? They don't even have any of this. They're just like, well, we keep getting more stuff and more, you know what I mean? And if that's what makes them happy, totally, bro. Go do it, go to the stars. I want you to do what makes you happy. However, my idea of ownership is I don't own this. I'm responsible for it. I'm the caretaker of it, right? And here's the thing, if you want this responsibility, I'm gonna be honest with you, there's some of it right now that I'll pass off to you. Here you go. You know what I mean? There's almost too much stuff. We're in a bit of a swing downward, right? Where it's like, fuck, we need some talent that's coming in here and we crack the whip and really get this place up to where it is intended and deserves to be, right? And just the idea of ownership within itself is it's such a foreign concept. It's not a Western mindset around it. It's, hey, just like your loved ones, just like your family, right? Like my dog, I don't own my dog. I'm responsible for him, right? Just like he's responsible for me in certain aspects of it, but it's working with it. You don't own land, right? Because who are you, right? That's not the mindset. And I think you're right. Like the cities and modern society has had such a good grasp on the force of somebody's hand, right? Of like, hey, we're trying to divide everybody up, show how different we are, make everybody feel bad about how different they are and that they don't fit. And then you ultimately don't end up working together and feeling the full potential of what this great big life really is.
Yeah, I love that. So my grandma says she's never seen a U-Haul following no hearse. You
Yeah.
can't take any of this with you. You really don't own anything. It could be like what I like are my guns. My gun is only my gun as long as I'm here, but I'm not gonna be here forever. So then who does it really belong to? And so land, if you can't own land. You can be responsible for it and care for it, and then hopefully have people near you that you can show how to work the land so that there's a symbiotic relationship. But the idea of ownership is something that has been it's one of the tricks that has been played on us, especially in this modern era and in the urban setting where you don't own your car. It could be in your name, maybe kind of, but that metal is not going to even be here for it's going to go back to the earth. So yeah, it's a dope idea to move from owning a bunch of stuff. The old heads in Hermosa Beach, I would just venture, they're not happy owning a bunch of stuff. I think that having your grandkids around you now, that's dope. Yeah. Somebody that you can talk to, cook for, hunt with, look at stars with. Yeah, that's what's dope. Yeah.
And transition those stories too. And that's where the whole meeting culture comes from, right? Like in the cities where it's like, you can't just show up on anybody's house, right? You knock on somebody's door now and they're like, what you doing here, right? Like I wasn't
We
expecting
won't
you
even go
here.
through the door. We won't even answer the door.
Exactly, right? Like who is that, right? And that's the most dangerous thing that can happen, I think, as a culture and as a community, is when you're not able to actually have that literal open door policy because you don't know when you're going to need knowledge. You don't need, I could give you a call anytime, Daniel, right? And be like, hey, man, I'm struggling with this and I don't really have nobody that I could tell. I don't think you got the answer, but at least just I need an ear. You know what I mean? And that's mature to do. Right there within itself. And when you don't have any of that, you start to feel real small, right? You start to feel real unimportant. You get down on yourself. And that's what people is. Here's something else that I wanted to throw at you, because you're now that you sparked so many of the transitionary ideas that I'd forgotten about. When I was walking around California in my first stint back from being just off the grid, it was so weird that I'm driving down these streets. Who made these streets? You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't even understand where it's just like we have such a limited, when you really think about it, like, oh, you have this big city, unlimited resources, this and that. And I go, no, there's private property everywhere. Like, you can't go in any of these. Like, right now, I can't just walk across the street and just like go into that attic or whatever. Do you see? I can't go explore that area. Why? Because that's Shrek Swamp right there. That's
Right.
Shrek Swamp right here. There's another Shrek Swamp, right? And it's hundreds and millions of these little plots, right, that have been divided up, and people are just trying to protect these this little piece of dirt that they got, right? And then here's the weirder part is, okay, let's say you're in a city. Now you found somewhere that's not Shrek Swamp. Guess what? You got to pay $3 before you even put your car in park, right? They want you to go through the toll. And then you got to get out there. Okay, you want food. You got everything is transactional, right? And it just becomes this weird cycle of you're never really getting to the root. When you're out in Montana, if I see that mountain right there, I can go walk up that mountain. That's what I want to do, right? If I see that river right there, you want to dip your toes in that river? Go ahead, dip your toes in that river. Now the risk is Be careful on what's in the river. Be careful on
Right.
what's in that mountain. That's the cost that you have to pay, is the knowledge and you know what I mean? That the risk that you're taking of being in the wild. But what do you think about that? It's just that's
You
my
made some
thing.
things. Yeah, you made me think of some things. So I talked earlier about how much we loved driving up PCH. It wasn't until those fires came through, burned all them houses down, that we could actually see what we were driving past to see the water. You couldn't even see because everybody had all those houses that were stacked all the way up and down PCH, that it wasn't until something natural disaster came and wiped that out, that you can finally see so much when you drive up there. Of course, there's the devastation and that kind of, you see it that way if you want to, but we were tripping off of, wow, you can actually finally see what's up there. Driving from LA to San Diego, when you look at like a Google Earth map, you're saying, yo, I want to go and look at this. I want to look at, you don't have access. You can't access what's there because everything is either owned or cut off or blocked or controlled by some other entity that you don't have access at all, to what you really want to be able to connect with. And so, the idea of seeing the mountain and being able to go to that mountain, or seeing, and we would do that this is my uncle I told you about. He sent so much to me this morning that I look forward to talking to you about. And so anyway, from the balcony in the Crenshaw community, we could see the mountains. And you can actually get on Crenshaw and drive, but you can't touch that mountain. You're going to get to a certain point and you're going to stop, and there's people with houses, and the police will come and get you. They got private security, they got their own Jewish, everybody is there to stop you from being able to get there. So the idea of seeing something and being able to go and get to it, to see a river and being able to go and get to it, and then to have to know how to interact the right way in a respectful manner, to have, you're just getting smarter, gaining more knowledge and wisdom to be able to survive getting to what it is that you want to see, that you're living life in a way deeper, at a way deeper level, a way higher level as well. And so that's an exciting option as well. I
That's my
look
thing
forward to.
too. My thing has been like, let's say when you're in the cities, right? And you're talking about getting treated a certain way, right? It could be police around there, right? Or you're not welcomed here. It's almost like there's this immediate, like they have to put this, you know, that force down on you where it's like, hold on now. I'm not a criminal. I ain't done nothing to anybody, right? Why are you just look at the car that you came up in. You're driving this crazy cyber truck, you know, futuristic thing. Like, calm down, man. I'm feeling my heart rate's up right now, and I haven't even done nothing, right? Everybody feels that way. Law enforcement, it's a funny thing because people that have, you're not scared of cops or police officers in rural areas because they don't have the power. Do you know who has the power? Fish and
Who's
Game
that?
has the power. Fish and Game is in control. Why? Because there's more cows in the state of Montana than there are humans, right? So the people who are protecting the livestock, right? You got the Livestock Commission, Fish and Game, folks like that, they have the real supreme authority, let's say. They don't abuse it or anything like that, right? But those are like Fish and Game, they can pull you over, search your car, no warrant, no nothing. They'll take you know, straight to jail. They'll do whatever they need to do, right? Because of the importance of they have of protecting that land, right? And protecting what's going on. So everybody's agreed that, yeah, what's going on? There might be a guy that's coming here cutting fence. Who knows what he's doing, right? So that person, there's certain realms to go through, but the idea of like law enforcement or things like that, they treat you great. Hey, how you doing? Because you also earn the community. You know who that guy is, right? You see his kids, right? You see his this, you see his that. And if your car is broken down, it's not like, hey, get this hunk of metal out of here before we tow it. It's like, do you got a ride home, right? Is somebody, you know, where are your kids at, right? Are they home alone right now? What's going on? What do we need? And You're right. We need to get back to that more. And I thought that, remember, when I came to my small community, I thought that my mission was to help the community out. But really, it's so much bigger. It's taking the tools that I'm using to help my community and trying to spread that as far as I can and help as many people as I can beyond just my little pocket or my little homelands that that I am interested in calling, residing in.
Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah, I think that as our conversation and conversation over the years continues to progress, it gets even more beautiful. You get closer and closer to like the meaning of life. And so it's been a dope journey going from Long Beach to Montana and to be on the ride along with you. And so, and same for us. I've had a number of experiences when my kids were born. I wanted to get them out of this area. And so we moved to Louisiana and we were on 42 acres. And so but you still have all that outside stuff that's still like the police pulled up onto the land one day and they wanted to force my uncle to sell them some of the land. They didn't like that he had that much land. But the idea of having we had cows and horses and to be in a as free as possible environment, to say let's walk all the way through to the sugar cane and then ride our four-wheelers through the sugar cane. And my students I taught down there would meet me after school and bring a horse with them for me to ride, and we'd race down rows of sugarcane. So I've had moments of those experiences, and then I've moved to the Caribbean a couple of times, and you do see a river or a mountain or the beach, although they call it Poor People's Beach in Jamaica, where you have to duck under the barbed wire to get onto the and there are resorts that you really don't have access. But the desire to find myself in environments where I could just be as free as possible is always been a goal of mine. And so for you to before we reconnected and started talking, and I saw that you were in Montana. I saw that you had hunted bison. That's why I was like, hey, can you send me bison steak, please? Just so I can taste a piece of freedom. And to know where that food source comes from, I mean the source of the food, where it comes from, was exciting. I regularly think of who do I know and where can I go so that I can experience freedom. And so I'm overjoyed being reconnected. But it's not like we lost connection necessarily, but to continue the conversation and that you made the decision to be where you are, back in your community. Man, super excited. McKenna and I have driven across the country four full times. So we drove from East Coast to West Coast and then back and then back and then back. And you drive through a lot of reservations, next to. And so just to look out the window and dream and then stop and take our shoes and socks off and stand on the earth. We've gone the most beautiful, going from California through Nevada into Utah into Colorado. Oh man, it's just the most beautiful experience. And to stop and to dream about how can we spend time in any of these places? It has just been something that we've been in pursuit of. And so it's just so exciting to have the idea of when I talk to if I talk to some of my friends, they'd be like, Montana, what are you talking about? Name one place in Montana, name a city in Montana. And
Yeah,
so
there's only
and
two cities, three cities in Montana. You know what I mean? Well, that's the best part about it, man. It's
yeah,
really
absolutely.
You got Missoula, you got Great Falls, you got Bozeman, you got Billings. That's it. It's really
That's
it. And those aren't even really like cities, to be honest with you. Like, it's not like you still go into the grocery store and see somebody you know. You know what I mean? Like, but I think the coolest part is the transition that happens to the human body once you do get connected to, like you said, the land and that environment. And it's not just the land, it's everything that comes with it, right? It's the food, the water, the air, the animals, all of it, right? It's all so important. And I think you said something earlier that was really cool. I wrote down capturing freedom, right? And oh, I think something that falls aligned with that is when I was telling somebody, you know what I want to hear? And it was just a bar that I came up randomly. I was like, I want to hear nothing. That's what I want to hear. Like, that's the whole point is when I go out, I want to hear nothing. And another one of those kind of things that I was talking about when you talked about the street lights and the light pollution is when I came back into California a couple months ago for the first time, I had my grandpa Charging Bull. He was like, how's it feel? Because we just road tripped, you know, old guy, young guy, let's just get out there and have a good time, right? He thought he was gonna drive. It was snowing the whole way. He can't see. So I ended up driving the whole way, right? But it's whatever. He was telling stories the entire time. It was worth it. I'd do it 10 times over again, right? I drove around the whole world if it was just him telling me stories the whole time, right? And he goes, as soon as we got into the valley, you know, kind of coming through, pushing into LA, he's like, how does this feel? And I go, you know, I just realized something. There's so many street lights. And when you look up at night and the farthest that you can see is 30, 40 feet in the air, and you can't see the stars, you only realize that your potential is only as high as those street lights right there. A lot of these kids, a lot of adults really don't understand what it's like to go and see the stars and understand how important you are and how vital this situation is when you only see your potential as 40 feet in the air. You know what I mean? And that was just kind of the metaphor that, I mean, we can kind of start to close out with, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. Is like when you're somewhere where you can only see the street lights, you're limited, you know, you're in a
Yeah,
box.
you have no idea how expansive the universe is if you can't even see up there. And we're so disconnected that we're scared of that. And it is scary. Like, it's awesome to be able to see that much. Again, driving across the country where we hit some spots where there wasn't any light. We were I'm trying to stay on the road because I'm trying to look out the window as much as I can. And Makena has a face glued to the window or putting the
Yeah.
windows down regardless of how cold or whatever it is, just to be able to see. One of my brothers, I've told you before, is a pilot, and he said that when he was trying to date, if a plane flew over and who he was on a date with didn't look up, he said, I knew it wasn't going to go too far. If you don't have the ability to look up, if you're not looking up, then you're limiting yourself. And so, urban
You know what's
population.
funny? That's how I build dogs too. When I build canines, if I can't find a canine, like Kino always looked up as a puppy, but most dogs you'll see won't look up. I don't know, that's just a funny parallel that I thought about, but I do it with dogs as well.
The plane flies over and shorty doesn't look up. My
Yeah,
brother
he's
sees
looking for a
it.
wife.
He's
That's
taking her
funny.
home. I'm taking her back home. Here you go. Goodbye. Dropping off. But
That's
yeah, it's
hilarious.
the idea of looking up, in a having an aviation family, you gotta look up, but then to see beyond that, to see the stars. My father, he was pretty rough as a child, but one thing for me, and one of the things that he would do, that I appreciate now, is that he would take me outside. At night, I mean, it'd be midnight, and I didn't want to go outside. It'd be cold, and again, he's not somebody I necessarily wanted to be around that much. And but he taught me the constellations, so I'm able to identify, what has been associated with the time of year that I was born. So to see Scorpio in the sky and be able to identify the constellation or the Milky Way and know where that is and what it looks like, or Taurus, and just to be able to identify the stars is something that I was raised with. I'm supposed to look up and look out there. And when I have been in like when we were in the Eastern Caribbean and we were down at the south of the island in Saint Lucia, it's dark, dark. And we put these apps on our phones that there'd be so many stars that you could hardly identify constellations, but we were able to match it up with the app on our phone. You could put it up and then see, and then put your phone down and look and be like, wow, that's what that is. And so it is so expansive and so awesome that it is a little bit scary, but the kind of way that you're supposed to, like, it's a respect kind of fear. But yeah, it's to not have access to that in urban settings, I think it does cut off your potential.
You know what's something? Go ahead. Sorry. Keep going.
Potential just in how far your mind can go, but I also think spiritually, I think it cuts off your potential. That was my last point.
Something I wanted your take on. I don't know how often you talk about this, but we have our own constellations in my culture, in my community up here, and our own, there's star talks, there's star stories, right? And that's something that is a big kind of push for our youth around here, is start to understand that, it might not be called the Big Dipper, right? It might be called something else, regardless of wherever you came from. And like I was telling you offline, was my goal is not to have people transition into being indigenous in the way that I am. That is called colonialism, and that's not really what I vibe with, right? What I would like to do is inspire through, let's say, my beadwork, through some of the customs and the traditions and the songs and the dances that I live my life through. I'd like people to try to dig back and get connected with their own roots as well, right? Or trying their best to do that and uphold what traditions they do have, and have us all come together in sort of like a buffet of traditions and culture, right? Be able to really respect one another in those ways. And just the idea of understanding, hey, guess what? You go all the way back to Africa, they have stories about their stars, right? You go to China, they have stories about their stars. You go to wherever you go on this, Europe, right? They have stories about their stars. And there's not just one way to do it, right? And I think that mindset of just like in the city, right? Oh, something breaks, call the maintenance man. That just immediately. Don't even try to fix it. Don't even try to like maybe even learn a little bit on how you do it. And it's crazy because we have so many resources around us. You want to learn how to patch a hole? Geez, hop on YouTube. You know what I mean? Like there, you will figure it out. And that's my last little rant, and then I'll start to close the plane. But like, what do you think about that, right? Is you literally, everybody has their own version of it, and I think you feel more connected to yourself by tapping into that.
Yeah, absolutely. When you first said that you have your own constellations or the names for it, I'm so intrigued, and I can't wait to go and learn, because it's like speaking languages. There are thoughts that you can't even imagine, that you can't conceive because of the limitations based on the English language. And so in that same sense, where my father taught me constellations, but if there's another way to look at this, that it actually isn't pointing that direction. I used to teach ancient Egypt, where the orientation of like north and south is actually reversed, where Upper Egypt is farther south, because the land actually slopes from the Ethiopian highlands down into Egypt. And so north and south were reversed until Europeans came in and changed the way to look at it. And so I can't wait to see what it is that y'all have to tell me, because it is something that I've already been prepped for it, but because of my childhood and looking up, but to hear it from a different perspective, I believe it's just going to expand what I'm able to conceive. And so that's very exciting to me,
Yeah.
as a learner and educator, because as soon as I learn, I'm gonna start telling somebody about it. And so it's the exciting thing. I think it improves the world around us the more that we know. And especially if you're coming from some ancient traditions, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
can't
it
wait
right
to
there,
speak.
man.
Yeah.
Before I land the plane, I'm gonna, start with my first question that I like to end things on, and that is there anything that you and I didn't get around to talking about that maybe you wanted to share before I let you get out? I know we covered a lot, but anything coming to mind?
Nope. I think that it's it is a full conversation. I feel good. I feel filled up from it. I've enjoyed this conversation. I've enjoyed all of them that we've had thus far, and this one even more. It just is exciting to be free from the confines of LA. And from a lot of that grind that goes on out there, to start talking about something that is outside of that, more expansive, is even more exciting. I think I'm closer to sh I mean, this has allowed me to share more about what's really inside, and then to hear about what's really inside of you as well is even more exciting to me. And so I feel like it was a very full and filling conversation. So I've enjoyed it, and to ask for any more would be greedy. And so I've really enjoyed this, and I do look forward to when we talk again, which will probably be real soon. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Something that I'm working too, I'll cue you in on here with this show, even, is I'm going to start doing some sort of a round table format where I'm thinking about doubling it. Instead of two voices, I'm going to go four voices on one episode, right? And I'm just gonna play with that because I've been doing years of the mano-a-mano. We go in there and we really start to kind of wrestle and kind of see what it is. But how cool would it be if we kind of had, like, throughout this conversation, but maybe I should have had McKenna come on too. You know what I mean? Maybe we should have had, a couple more voices on there to be able to really throw that in there, because I think now I'm in a position as a host, right? Maturity-wise, talent-wise, where I could facilitate something like that. Early
I think
on, early on, dude, it was just my brain wasn't big enough yet to really, like, hold on now, we gotta wait. But you've seen the style and the flow that I have, the ability to, be present with this and then cue up the next idea, right? Or sort of just flick it, like I call it, like air hockey. You just kind of pop it and just kind of let it float in that direction, right?
yeah.
And that would be cool. Maybe we can have you
That's
back
a
on,
great
like, real
idea.
soon, and I'll try to get a couple more, ideas and voices on there, and then we'll see. I don't know if it's gonna work, but we'll try
Yeah,
it.
count me in.
Cool, cool.
I'd love to participate. That'd be fun.
Yeah. All right. The last question is my favorite question because it gets to just point the show in different avenues that, like I said, I wouldn't necessarily predict on my own. Are there maybe like two to three people that you'd like to see me reach out to that maybe they have a really good, stamp, your stamp of approval and just a big heart that maybe they're just some young gunners that are really talented. Maybe, they're under 30, let's say, right? That you got such a big human capital that we talked about that you'd like to see come on and maybe share a little bit about their story if they're interested. Does anybody come to mind?
There are a few people that I reached out to that I talked to about Montana. And so let me talk to them and ask them if they'd be comfortable having the conversation, just to clear it with them and before I name them. I think that it would be a real cool introduction, to moving in that direction, for them to have, for y'all to have the conversation about some of the things that we've talked about on this show today. And so, yeah, I have a couple people in mind immediately.
I didn't even think about it until just now. it would be really smart, as we're talking about the media side of things, to actually have everybody take the time. You see what I'm saying? And see, hey, what are you thinking about, right? What do you think? How do you think this is going to go? Maybe what do you think you're going to get out of it? Or what do you think you're going to give to it? And then afterwards, kind of seeing,
The
hey,
adult way to document it.
what was I online with? And then what was something that just came way out of left field that I wasn't even expecting to catch? And that would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Anybody that we bring out there should spend time on this show.
Yeah, that's a good
Yeah.
idea, man. So we'll try to make a push for that. But yeah, reach out to those people. And like I said, I appreciate you coming on, open invite, and thank you for being so flexible. First of all, was, I know we talked about it. I was like, hey, I need a couple guests, and you were like, whenever you need me, just let me know. You know, so
Absolutely.
it's always appreciative. So guys, this has been another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Peace.